Reformed Church.
You know, I just want to share something with you about, if we can just read this again. I shared this at the beginning of service on Wednesday. And I know I've been talking about hearing from God and stuff, but I just want to take a little break from that for today, just because there's something that specifically the Lord keeps bringing up to me to share. So I wanted to share that with you. This is, Proverbs 9 and Proverbs 9, 7. I was making a different point with these verses on Wednesday, but again, this is really something, when I say the Lord's been bringing this up to me, I mean like really like constantly bringing it up to me, and about sharing, and so I did want to share this. So Proverbs 9, 7, "He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets to himself a blot." Now, I don't know what he means by a blot there, but I just know it's not good, so it's a negative response is what he's talking about, and that's why he says you'll get to yourself shame if you reprove or you try to correct a scorner. Scorner, you know, here he's talking about someone that would scoff or mock at, you know, or take lightly the word of God. And so there are people that you don't correct, which is funny enough. Most people would think that if someone is ignorant, you just always correct them. You see something that's going on in somebody's life, you just always give them guidance and always correct them, and that's not the case. Now, there may be a scorner that's talking to you in conversation, and you know they're not receptive to the gospel, but sometimes you reply with the gospel just for your own sake, just so that you remember in your own mind, hey, you know what, that's not true, this is the truth, and you're not really trying to correct them, you're doing it for your own sake or the sake of other people around you. There's definitely reason for that. But as far as seeing somebody that's going through something, you might see someone who's struggling, and there are people that are struggling today that you shouldn't correct, and that's what he's talking about here, that if you reprove a scorner, you're just going to get to yourself shame. Like, in other words, it's not going to help them, they're just going to shame you. So it's kind of like going into, you know, a fight knowing that, I'll compare it to this. It's like going into a gunfight and knowing that someone's just going to be shooting at you, but you can't really get them, they can just possibly get you. And when you are in a conversation and someone doesn't receive the gospel, you can't get to them. But they might be able to get to you, though, because they're going to be firing at you unbelief. And they'll bring shame toward you, and they'll shoot that back at you in a conversation. And if you don't guard your heart right, that you can be susceptible to that, but they're not going to be susceptible to your word, what you're kind of firing back at them. So conversation like that don't make any sense. If you can't win the conversation or can't win somebody over, it doesn't make sense to even start the conversation. There are people you shouldn't correct. But here's what I want to bring out of this. And actually, let's just keep reading a little bit more. Because he says, reprove not a scorner. That's really what makes my point there. Reprove not a scorner. There are people you shouldn't correct or guide, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I want to make a different point with this than I have last time I was sharing this, but it is not a godly thing to not want to take advice or correction. And again, I just want to share this, and you could make whatever application you see to this, but the concept of not being sort of averse to taking advice and correction is not a godly trait. Now, we shouldn't take advice if it's contrary to Scripture, but apart from you having chapter and verse to where you can tell the Holy Spirit has revealed something to you from Scripture, because Scripture is the standard, okay? God has given us Scripture to be a standard of truth, the standard of the gospel. He took the gospel that is already on the inside of us as believers, and he wrote these things down so that there would be a sort of an equality of knowledge, and we can all have reference. So one person saying one thing, another person saying another, and we're not sure who is speaking the gospel. We have a standard of the gospel now that we can refer to and prove our points from and say, hey, you know what? You're saying this, that's contrary to Scripture. And if someone gives you advice like that and you have scriptural knowledge to be able to refute that, then you don't take that advice. And that's perfectly acceptable. But the concept of being averse to advice or correction is not a godly trait. And this is just so important for us to understand this. Most people do not like correction. Most people do not like advice, even if it's godly advice. Most people just don't want you correcting them. And Pastor Zay has told me before, because he obviously used to be a children's pastor, and worked in church, worked in a big church for a very long time and dealt with people constantly. And he's said plenty of times before, I've heard him say that when he would bring people in and would have to correct them over something, a worker in children's ministry or something, most of the time people will just leave. They step down or they leave the church. Because most people cannot take correction. They just don't want anyone, whatever the, maybe it's a different reason each time. Maybe, I'm sure there are commonalities with all people when you just don't want correction, but people just don't want to be told that they're doing something wrong or that they're thinking something wrong in any kind of way, even if you're doing it in love, regardless of what it is. But most people don't like correction. But this is saying, what this is saying is that not liking correction means that you're a scorner. That's what a scorner is someone that doesn't want the advice or correction. Being adverse to correction means that you're a scorner. That's literally, it says that lest he hate you. When you have a negative response to correction and advice, this is saying that's being a scorner. I'm not saying any Christian in their nature is a scorner, but that there is characteristic of a scorner, not of a wise man. This says, rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. That's the truth. That is the truth. If you rebuke someone who is actually wise and seeking the truth, wise people love correction. Now, the Bible says that even in Hebrews, that it doesn't always, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, it doesn't always seem joyous at the time, but it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and we will become partakers of the Lord's holiness if we actually accept what's being said. And I will say, even where it said that it doesn't always seem joyous, that word seem literally means, like this is not a stretch here, the word literally means in your opinion, meaning correction, if it is godly correction, is actually a joyous thing. God is trying to steer you correctly so that you can, you know, partake of his divine nature, so you can partake of his holiness and who you are in Christ. It is actually a joyous thing. There it just says it may not always, in our opinion, seem joyous at the time, because sometimes when we're corrected, all that we're thinking about is some of it is because we care so much about people's acceptance. If anyone has an opinion about anything that we're doing wrong, and I'm not saying that, you know, I can't be tempted to think the same way, but if someone corrects you, sometimes all because we want people's acceptance so badly sometimes, all that we can think of sometimes is someone is perceiving that I'm doing something wrong, and we're not seeing sometimes that the Lord could be trying to steer us correct so that we can see more fruit in our life. And that's why the Bible says that a wise man will love someone that corrects them. It is the characteristic of a scorner to hate someone when they're corrected. And unfortunately, you know what, let me just share this also. God has given leaders in the church authority to guide people. The word pastor, even like as Pastor Jose being the pastor here, the word pastor actually means shepherd. The word shepherd and pastor are actually the same word in the Bible. Unfortunately, it's just translated two different ways. I wish people wouldn't do that. Translators wouldn't do that. But it is the same word. A pastor or a shepherd is the exact same word. I think this is true of Hebrew and Greek, because Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament was written in Greek. And the Bible talks about shepherding the flock of God in 1 Peter, I believe it is. And he's talking to pastors. And then also, there's a symbol in the Bible, in Luke, when Jesus was born, it says that the shepherds were watching their flock by night. And that there is actually a symbol of what pastors are ordained to do, and that is to keep watch over the flock in this age, which is called the night. In other words, we live in a period of ignorance, and God has given people in the church authority to keep watch over our souls, quote-unquote, by night. In other words, in an area of ignorance, God has given people oversight over us for our good and for our benefit, so that when they see that if we're kind of erring in something, or they see that we need help in something, or if we need correction in something, that God has given people authority to do that. And unfortunately, most people make it impossible for pastors and teachers and evangelists and leaders in the church to actually exercise the authority that God's given them. They really do make it impossible because you know, just as a for instance, Pastor Jose has rarely corrected, you know, people in here or at the church, very rarely. But people do make it just about impossible to correct someone without and actually maintain their attendance at church and stuff. And most people will just say, you know what, I'm done if they're corrected. But I just want to bring this to you, not because I'm trying to address an issue or anything like that, but just because I feel like it's just so important for us to understand that God has given, in 2 Corinthians 10, I was just reading this morning, Paul talks about the authority that he had over the people that he had preached to. And he said that God had given him authority for edification, for their edification and not for destruction. In other words, pastors and, you know, and leaders in general are not given authority over people to tear people down, but to edify them. But some of that edification is going to be correction sometimes. And again, I'm not saying any of this because I'm trying to address something here. I literally just wanted to teach on this. But again, most people do make it impossible to actually exercise that authority. And man, if you saw, let me just sort of end with this, I guess. There's two different things at play here. One is that anyone that you hear that gives you good advice, or at least advice that is scriptural. If you don't have a chapter and verse to refute what someone is saying, then maybe you should accept, probably you should accept what's being said. And that's super important. But also, too, especially for leaders, if you believe that God has appointed a leader, okay, I'm not just talking about a leader within the church. There are a lot of people that are leaders that shouldn't be leaders. But if you believe that God has appointed a leader in the church, there is not only just accepting correction in general or accepting advice. That is a godly trait, to accept advice. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. That means you should want a lot of counsel. If you're going to steer me to Jesus, if you're going to show me what the Bible says, you should want a multitude of counselors. It is unwise. It is the characteristic of a scorner and not a wise person to be averse to advice and correction. But let me just tell you this. That would go for anybody, but especially with leaders in the church where God has given them and ordained them for the purpose of steering us and keeping watch over our souls in this time of ignorance that we live in this world. There should be a willingness to hear somebody out and to be able to accept correction and advice and love the person for it, knowing God has ordained them for that purpose. That's why God put Pastor Jose in the position that he put Pastor Jose. God gave Pastor Jose this position. I know for a fact, like, God specifically anointed Pastor Jose for this position. This is not only something that I would judge just off of the Holy Spirit in me, but this is confirmed by prophecy and things like that, even we've shared with you in the past. This is something that God called Pastor Jose and Miss Kim to do with this church. That means that God has actually given them the authority to watch over our minds and to guide us, but not just to teach, but also to correct when that's necessary. And we should love Pastor Zane Miss Kim for that, not hate them for it, right? And again, I'm not addressing anything. I'm just saying that this is a fact. And even on top of that, man, even let's just say something went totally wrong. And Pastor Zay or Miss Kim tell you something, and you say, you know what? I love Pastor Zay and Miss Kim, but this particular advice is totally unscriptural. Now, I'm not aware of any particular time that has ever happened. But let's just imagine the situation where you say, this is totally unscriptural, this is not right, this is contrary to this verse, because we're always going to have chapter and verse, right, before we reject teaching or guidance. But we say, you know what, the Lord, this is a revelation of Jesus, and they're contradicting it. Okay. Man, even in a scenario like that, there is still, when you recognize that God has anointed somebody, you still have a respect, though, and a love for that person, and a submission for that person. And you can't get a better example of submission to leadership, especially particularly leadership that God has anointed, than David. In my opinion, that is an awesome. You want to talk about being corrected and people leave the church when they're corrected? Saul threw spears at David, and it says, with the intention of pinning him to a wall. That is, and David stuck with it. Now, you should have guidance from the Lord to stick with that if someone's throwing spears at you to pin you to a wall. But David stuck with it, would not rebuke Saul, would not. And David did correct Saul in the sense that he told Saul that he had not wronged Saul, and that, you know, essentially Saul, implying that Saul was in error for what he was doing. So there was a correction there, but he was not angrily rebuking Saul or anything like that. Saul hunted him down. David would not take Saul's life. He would not even retaliate. And the reason for that, now David killed a lot of kings in his life, even at the time. He killed a lot of kings of other nations, and he didn't have that level of respect. Now, we should have respect for anybody because of their position to some degree, but this was particularly because he knew God chose Saul. And in David's mind, if God chose Saul for this position, who am I to speak against him? And that is super important too. And that's even in a case where God had left Saul at the time, forsook Saul. Saul was even under demonic influence sometimes, but God chose Saul. And David said, you know what? Even when he disagreed from a scriptural standpoint, Saul was in contradiction to the law of God, even the written scriptures at the time in David's time. And even with blatant contradiction, David stuck with it, and because he knew if God chose Saul, it ain't as if God didn't know this was going to happen, and God still chose Saul. And if God chose Saul, who am I to speak against him? And he would not speak a cross word to Saul. He spoke the truth. When Saul was in the wrong, he talked to Jonathan about that as well, but he would not speak a cross word against Saul. And I'm just saying that even as a level of submission, and that's even when someone's in the wrong, let alone when we have leaders and or even just fellow believers that want to correct us or encourage us and steer us correctly. Man, unless you have chapter and verse to refute what somebody's saying, as we always should if we're going to refute something, you should be accepting advice and you should love people for correcting you. And again, even if it doesn't seem joyous at the time, you just say, you know what, let me think about that. You don't have to tell the person this, but you just know in your mind, let me think about that and let me sit on it and let me refer to scripture and have the Lord show me. But you may need a little bit of time, but you should love people, not hate people. It should actually improve your opinion of them when they correct you rather than, sort of squash your opinion of them. So anyway, I just want to share, I'm a little over, I didn't even realize, sorry. But I just want to share that with you because it is so important. We need to stick together on things like that, especially when you know that really God is doing things through people and has appointed people for our good to be able to correct and give us advice. And that has seldom happened here, seldom. I'm sure Pastor Zay could have, has underused his authority in this area. But it's just so important for us to recognize that and say, you know what, if I ever get advice or correction, I'm going to think about it. And if I feel that it's scriptural and from God, then I'm going to take it. If it's not scriptural, don't take it.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.